I'm telling you, just in these last couple of weeks, I just did a prophecy conference 2 weeks ago, and I'm telling you, it is so exciting. And the fact is that we have the Word of God that gives us the answers and outlines what's happening. We don't understand that all, but we do know, according to Romans chapter 13, that now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And it's closer today than it was yesterday. And Paul keeps talking about that. He ends each of these chapters with that reminder of the Lord's return. But look at verse number 12. It says in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, let's read it together, reading out loud. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Now, some of you might get excited about that, that business of the Lord make you increase. How many have been praying that I can get bigger this year? Not too many people have been praying that one. He says, what does it mean to increase and abound? And I love this because as we continue to look at this, we see this little word here, abound and increase. Those two actually go together. They're similar words here in the Greek. And it just is beautiful to see that these two ideas mean to superabound. Now, I'm a preacher of the gospel. And for some reason, people seem to figure that out. I can walk through Walmart and not have a tie on or anything, and people come up to me and they'll say, are you a preacher? I don't know why that is. That happens to me so many times. And I say, yes, I am. But I just like being a regular person. You know what I'm saying? Just somebody who's a Christian who just wants to serve the Lord and gives out a gospel tract and tells people about the Lord. But I have a kid in me anyway. Do any of you have a kid in you still? And so that's when I reach into my pocket and I pull out my bouncy ball. And I just fling it at one of my kids, kind of like that, see? And he knows when he sees this thing flying through the air all of a sudden that he's going to catch it, and the next thing I know, we're walking down the aisle in Walmart or somewhere, and I'm like, pay attention, we're always alert. I mean, this thing has been underneath the pallets at Sam's Club. It's been up behind the clothes areas, in dressing rooms. It's been all over the place. I know it's crazy, but that's what abound means. It just means simply to super abound. You know what? There's a lot of Christians. They're just going through life. I don't know how I'm going to make it. How are you? I don't know. Pretty rough these last few days. Did you notice it's raining outside today? Yeah. It's the first time it's ever happened in my lifetime. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. And the skies are cloudy all day. Yeah, it's like out on the prairie. I don't know. I went into a restroom in one department store, and I walked in, and I said, hey, it's a great day, isn't it? And the guy in there goes, kind of windy out there today. Oh, that's a real blessing. You know what? Just the kind of person you want to be around. How are you? Well, I took my pills today. Good. I'm glad. That makes me feel better, you know? Hey, I'm not interested in that. I don't mind loving anybody, but I'm telling you, I think God's people ought to abound. And I think they ought to superabound. I think it ought to get better than that. And this word is used multiple times in several ways. And I don't know if you can see that up there, but to be abundant or to increase, excel, exceed, or remain. Look in your Bible at John chapter 6, would you please? John chapter number 6. Somebody tell me from your own Bible study, what are you going to find in John chapter 6? A story about a boy. There you go, with a lunch, right? John chapter number 6, and now the feeding of the 5,000 men. And those guys are in there sitting around with their wives and their children. There must have been a pile of people. And Jesus took the loaves that were brought by the boy, the 5 barley loaves, and the fish, and he started to divide them. And when they got all done, verse number 12, do you see what it says? When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, ding, 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 word, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. These were the leftovers. This was the over-the-top type thing. Hey, listen, you know, a Christian, it's not just a half-full glass of water. It's when you pour that water and all of a sudden it flows over the top. That's what he's talking about, that abounding, that leftover, that remaining part, the extra, the super aboundingness that comes from knowing the Lord and knowing what his plan is for us because of his word. And I don't know about you, but that's where I'm at. I'm just saying, Lord, I'm tired of the status quo. I'm tired of just going through life, just doing the routine. I'm interested in kind of the Tigger thing, if you know what I'm talking about. Kind of bouncing. You say, why is that? Because when the Lord's right in your heart and your heart's right with God, there's nothing that can keep a Christian down. There's nothing that can keep him back from serving and honoring the Lord and from joy in his heart. Hey, listen, is our world going to be more intrigued by people who walk around and go, I'm a Christian. This is really wrong. Or are they going to say, something's wrong with that guy. He's always smiling. He's got something going on. I mean, there's... My mom sold her house this week up in Greenville, down in Greenville, South Carolina. That was pretty exciting, wasn't it? And the realtor and I were talking while the lawyer was filing off the stack of papers for the lady who got a loan. That would be one thing that would cause me not to do that. But sign this, sign that, sign that, sign that. So I was talking with her realtor, and we were talking together, and we were kind of just conversating over there. And the lawyer said, can it be quiet over there, please, so we can focus on this? Kind of funny. And so the realtor, and she's a real neat lady, and she said when we got back in the car after the sale was closed, and she said, I've never heard a lawyer say that before. She said, we got a half hour of wading through papers, and we ought to be able to carry on a conversation. I said, isn't that interesting? She said, well, I was just enjoying the conversation, and when she got done, she left, and she came back, and she said,
she got out of her car, and she was almost in tears, and she said, you've been such a light. She said, would you mind praying with me before I leave?
And so we had prayer with the realtor, and it was a beautiful thing. And she said, there's something about you. There's a spark in there. Yeah. There's a spark plug in there about ready to go out. You know what I'm saying? You say, I'm different. I don't have that kind of personality. I'm just a different person altogether. That's great. But I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus is in there and the light's in there, something's going to be different about you, and people are going to see it, and they're going to notice it, and they're going to go, that's different. In fact, they might even say, that's weird. I mean, really, look at the person next to you. That's unique, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. You're creative. There's no doubt about it. Hey, listen, that's not what it's all about, but I'm excited because I believe that God wants us to abound, and we ought to thank God. And you know how you can do that? I figured this out. This is not real difficult, but there's a great old song. It says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So if you're interested in being surprised, if you're interested in seeing what God alone can do, then just start counting your blessings. And that's just something that all of us have to do if we're going to honor and serve the Lord. Thank you. counting your blessings and naming them one by one. And the more blessings you have, the more blessing it is just to live in life. And so as I looked at this word abound, I said, God, help me to be that kind of person. Help me to be an abounder. And then I started seeing this more and more. Look at this. In verse number 12, it says, to abound and increase and abound in love one toward another. So in other words, what we're talking about is people abound in many ways. We talked about this. If you had the opportunity to increase in your wealth, would you be for that?
Sure.
Yeah, there's an honest man. I like that. And how much would make you happy?
All of it.
All of it. How about just a little bit more? Is that always the case? Just a little bit more? Oh, I tell you what. Hey, listen, setbacks come. They came this week. A man decided he was going to buy a large piece of equipment that we had, and he came and he looked at it. He came back the next day and he looked at it. He bargained on a price. We settled on a price. He called me later and he said, I'm at the bank and I just need to make sure I have the name spelled right and all of that. And then that night he called back and he says, I'm going to back out. What are you going to do? Just rejoice. Just be thankful. God's in control. He's got something better in mind. There's no doubt about that. And we're talking about increase. Oh, boy. I'm talking about weight. You say, man, I don't want to increase that weight. There's always so many clothes in the closet, aren't there? Aren't there? They always seem to be. Have you noticed the smaller variety? Have you noticed that? It seems to happen oftentimes. And, and the weather. People are always talking about the weather. Oh, there's so many things. People always want to increase in, but I love this. He says that we ought to increase and abound in love. I was looking this up, and I said to my son, I said, give me a good picture on that. And we started looking this up to see if we could find it. And you know what I found was an adult bounce house. How many of you have ever been on a bounce house? Cool, isn't it? How many of you adults really love that, man? Sure we do. You know we do. But this is an adult one where you can actually get in there and bounce, because most of the time you have to stand outside and watch your kids go, oh, that looks like so much fun. Oh, keep that up. Keep that up. And you know inwardly you'd all like to get in there and do something crazy like that, right? No, you say, I'm past that point. I don't want that. Hey, listen, God wants us to abound and increase. And he says here, I want you to do it in your love. In your love. Some of you are thinking about that. Got to be thinking about that. Tim, I had a chance to talk with him yesterday. That was pretty exciting, wasn't it? Wow. He told me he's graduating. That's what got him excited. You know what I mean? Graduating. Woo-wee! And so I said, yeah, tell me more. But he told me there was kind of a twinkle in his eye when he told me something about 8 days later. Do you know anything about that? I had a feeling. Now, according to what he said, it was 27 yesterday, so we're 26 today. Is that right? Till graduation, right? No, that's what I was thinking. There's something abounding over here in this pew. It's catching on. Keep it up. Keep it up. Now, there you go. I like it. So I asked him, what was her name going to be? And he said, Brubaker. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? She's pretty excited about it. Some of the rest of you aren't really excited about it, because he's abounding in love. You know what I'm talking about? Abound in love. Hey, how is your love? Let me ask you a question. How many of you always sit on this side of the auditorium? Oh, that's your spot, is it? That's good. That's good. How many of you sit over here on this side? Do you ever cross the aisle? Every once in a while. Okay. It's kind of like a Congress thing. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know what? Sometimes we get pretty set in our own little spots. Did you know that? You know what? I would encourage you. Just enjoy moving around. You know why? Because you're going to get to know somebody else that doesn't sit in your section. And you know what? You might fall in love with them. Well, I'm not talking about that kind of thing back there. I'm just talking about God's people abounding in love. You know what happens when you go across the street to your neighbors and you start abounding in love? you start realizing there's a lot of people out there that they need help. They need somebody to love them, somebody to care. Pastor showed me a map back in his office, and that's exciting to see you reaching out around this place. A few weeks ago, we were in Florida, and a pastor from Ohio came down, and he said, I pastor a small church up in Mansfield, Ohio. He said, no, don't get worried about it. I said, I'm not worried about it. I thank God for pastors of small churches. He says, that's what God's called me to do, pastor a small church. He said, we have less than 45 people, and we always have had, as long as I've been the pastor. But he says, that doesn't mean we don't have a ministry. And he said, somebody's got to pastor those churches. So I'm one of them. And he said, I don't worry about what the other guys are doing that are building the utopias and doing their thing and they're doing all that. He says, we reach out where we are. And I said, so tell me, how are you reaching out? He said, we have what we call the million mile team. I said, what's the million mile team? He said, in our town, we have a million people that live right around that area. And he said, well, it's upwards of that. There's a lot of people right in their area. He says, we're trying to make this connection with all of these people, and we're trying to make a million contacts. And he said, so far we've had over several hundred thousand contacts with people. And he says, they don't all come to our church, and they probably won't ever come to our church. But he says, here's what happens. We meet people we never knew and tell them about Jesus. And even though they might not show up at our church, we get a love for them because we start reaching out and caring for them. This is abounding in love. Just abound in love. And let that love abound in a way that people are going to see it. My wife and I were talking about this, and she was doing some research. Honey, I want you to share what you found as we were talking about this. This is past week.
Yes, it's so exciting. I was reading in Luke chapter 14, and the Lord just impressed on my mind that idea of inviting people. And
it says they're about the people that were bidden.
Were bidden.
Yeah, they were invited.
So I was just curious, how many people in a local church actually invite people in a year's time? And I found that very interesting that it said that only...
Now, this was a Lifeway research...
Yes, it was. A poll
survey
for over 15,000
people. 15,000 people, okay.
And they said that only 2% of the people in a church, in a given church, invite an unchurched person in any given year.
Wow.
So that means that 98% of us in a given year do not invite anyone to church.
That's an extremely high number.
Extremely high number. And it went on to say that 82% of the unchurched were at least somewhat likely to attend if they were invited. So I said, okay.
82%. So they had to be invited, though. How are you talking invited? What about the...
Well, they said that if you just rely on advertising, only 2% of the people would reply or come as a result of advertising. If a family member or a friend invited them, 86% were likely to come.
Wow.
If you used an email, most people said no, they would not come if you invited them through an email, which I found that pretty interesting in our technological society. And it was really interesting as well to find out that 7 out of 10 people said they have never been invited to church.
Ooh.
So we could count, you know, people out in a pew and see, ooh, how many of those would be invited.
Yeah. So there's people out there that need to be invited. And if you, as a friend of them, invite, just according to those stats, right?
Yes, according to those stats, 86% are likely to come.
Yeah.
Now, Malkaja and I, back a couple weeks ago, we were packing up at the end of a service, and we both looked at each other, and we said, you know what? This is really sad. Because the church had taken the time, like your pastor has, to make flyers. And there was probably a 2-inch stack of flyers left at the end of the week. They weren't really going to do anybody any good at that time. And I saw out there in your foyer, you've already prepared and have flyers. That's part of being ready to invite somebody. Pick up a flyer on your way as you leave today, and you're a little better prepared to invite somebody.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it. And to love somebody else and say, hey, listen, can we help you? We want to increase and abound more and more. Now, don't miss this, because he says, in love one toward another. So in other words, we got to love God's people first. All right? We got to have this love among the body of Christ, first of all. And then he says, toward all men. So this is going to transport out beyond here. And once you get in love with the people of God, then you begin to reach out. You say, why is that? Because you're in love with God. If you're in love with God, you love God's people, and you start loving it. All these people that need God's love, and you start to reach out with that. I was talking with a lady this week, and I said, how have you found your Christianity impacting others? And she said, can I reverse that question a little bit? And she said, let me tell you how somebody else's Christianity has impacted me. She said, my husband has to work, and we didn't have a way to get to church. And one of the people in the church goes out of their way to pick my family up to come to church every service. And she said, that just shows so much love. So that's just one way. So now you tell me. This is Sunday school, all right? So you tell me. How have you seen or demonstrated love toward God's people recently? There's not a right answer here. How have you, or how can you? How can you?
Discipleship.
So you can take the time to work with somebody else a particular way. Okay? You can pray for them. That's right. There's plenty to pray for, isn't there, Doc? Whew. You got a lot to pray for. Yes? Yes, and our conversations, even in the church and how that works, you can tell a lot about a church. I'll tell you this in advance because I haven't observed it yet, but I'll just tell you. You can tell a lot about a church about how they fellowship with each other right after the service. Churches where they stick around, where people are in love with one another, they want to find out, interact with one another, usually they're very healthy or moving that direction. Unless, of course, there's gossip going on and everybody wants in on it. Yeah. Somebody else. You say, I got an idea. How can we reach out? How can we love? Wash somebody else's dishes. Wow. Talk about practical. That is great. Can you come over to my house? My wife, as soon as the meal is over, those dishes are done. I'm telling you, that is a done deal. But there might be somebody that has a whole sink load. And they might even be willing to offer for you to come to their house right afterward. That's good. You can do that, or you could share something with a friend. Some of you guys at work, how are you loving your coworkers? Now, folks, if we don't know how to love and we don't have any ideas in mind, we probably aren't going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Give them a gospel tract.
There you go. And one man I talked to this week works in molding plastics. He's an engineer. And he said, you know what? There are certain things we can't do in our work. But he says, there are certain things we can do. And he said, you know, it's interesting. These guys come around and they're foul-mouthed and everything. And they come around me and he says, all of a sudden, they start apologizing for their language. I said, good for you. They figured out something about you that's different than them. And they want a different connection with that. And so I love that. So, you know, the beautiful thing is that Jesus loves us. And because he loves us, then we ought to connect with that. Mom, I'm going to ask you, if you would please, to share on the scene Crystal Glasses with Kaija. That song that probably was the best love, maybe first song that ever these people heard.
Yes, we love to share with the Singing Crystal. And these are... beer, wine, and brandy snifters, but I love to tell folks they've been converted.
Oh, amen.
Yeah, they're not used for what they were designed for, but when my fingers are clean and wet, and I actually make contact with the top of the glass, you know, you were talking about what can you do. You know what I found works almost every time?
What's that?
When you invite somebody, if you either have them for dinner, take them out to McDonald's, or... have them for dessert afterward. If you connect food with your invitation, it'll work every time.
Oh,
yeah, they'll put up with the church service if you take them to dinner. But you know what? It might mean their eternal soul, so it's worth more than a dinner that you might invest in. Anyway, each of these glasses is only plays one note.
Wait. Let me just connect on that.
You're saying that, in other words, you couldn't pick one up and put it in another slot.
No, they're very fragile, and if one gets broken, I can't take another one near it or whatever that I don't need and put it there. For example, this one right here, which is a B flat, got broken a number of years ago. A lady was helping me clean. It took me 5 years to find another B flat to go there. And you know what? If you don't do what God created you to do, that job may not be done. Not only that job may not be done, but the person may not come to know the Lord, and that's the ultimate.
So they all work together. It's kind of like God's people in love with each other, isn't it?
That's correct. And the song says, Jesus loves me, this I
know.
Let me hear you.
No.
Yeah, for the
Bible.
Bible tells me so. Little ones, big ones, medium, anybody, to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. Let's play it for them on the singing crystal kite.
That's beautiful. Turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse number 9. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Just want to see Paul saying this a little different way. He says, this I pray, that your love may abound yet. How? More and more. More and more. This is the increase in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere, genuine, transparent, real, that's what he's talking about here, and without offense, until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And he goes on there, he says, I want you to be in love, and I want you to show that love everywhere you go. But look over, please, at Romans chapter 15. I want you to see another way that we abound. This is simple, but as I began to look at this word and saw it in so many different applications in the scripture, I was just intrigued by this. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 13. He says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may what? Abound in hope. Abound in hope. One man I was talking to recently, he was concerned about how our world was going. He said, you know, 30 years ago we had Johnny Cash, Steve Jobs, and Bob Hope. He says, now we have no cash, no jobs, no hope. I said, that sounds like something that somebody would pass along on a forward on an email, right? And yet at the same time, the truth is we need hope, and our hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin on Calvary's tree. Aren't you glad that you can have hope in Christ? Not like others who have. Ephesians chapter 2 says, no hope. And we got a lot of people like that. They have no hope. But you can have hope, and you can abound in that hope. You can rejoice, you can bounce in that hope, as it were, and you can increase more and more. And then notice over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse number 5. He says, For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. He says, how are we going to do this? He's talking about the comfort that we need when we're in trouble. Verse number 4, he says, them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God, so we can abound in this suffering. He said, man, you could have left that one out, preacher. I don't want to abound in suffering. I don't understand that. Hey, this is just a light affliction. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says we ought to expect the suffering that comes. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Expect it. But he says we should endure it. Because when we, like the prophets, endure it, suffering affliction, that's when people really are going to see our God. When they're going to notice something different about you. When you go through hard times, when you go through suffering times, and you can still smile at the storm. And he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. When this guy backed out on this deal this week, my first response was, oh, that was not nice. And I said, you know what, Lord? I need to rejoice in this because you've got a better idea going on here. I'm going to rejoice in this. I'm going to ask you to help me to abound in the tough times that we go through. One of the ladies that's a dear friend of ours, her husband was actually a dean of science at Bob Jones University, and he's passed on to be with the Lord, but she's been a dear friend of our family, and actually you grew up like a sister to her
about
husband.
The only thing I know about music.
Yeah, and Bob Lehrer was his name, a wonderful musician, a wise man, loved the Lord. But anyway, we were up in Canton, Ohio, and there she was. At her place, and we went over to see her, and she had just had hip surgery. She had fallen over the dog. Don't do that. And so anyway, she said, watch this. She's up in years. She grabbed a hold of her walker, and she stands up, and she says, this is the first day. I said, Zoe, I love that. I love to see your excitement about walking. But I said, you know what I really like? I really like your smile. She said, there's no reason to be down in the mouth and no reason to get sad about it. She says, God allowed this to happen, and this is my burden I have to bear, but I'm going to just enjoy it. Man, I said, thank God for people like that. Hey, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have a hard time. I was in Ohio, and I'm talking with a guy who was a farmer, and I said, how do you do with your crops this year? Was it pretty good? I mean, we had a kind of a wet spring, and he said, oh, yeah, not bad this year. He said, now, last year, that was a totally different thing. I said, really? So he said, we got some crops, and I said, what kind of crops you got? And he said, soybeans and corn. I said, great. What's it like this year? He says, oh, we got on the GPS system. This is really cool. He says, we hooked to 9 different satellites, and no satellites are out there directing the tractor across the field. He says, I don't even hardly have to drive it anymore. He says, if we come to the property line on an angle, and we're planting, he says, the GPS will tell these planters to shut off when it hits the property line, and these will keep planting until we get to the property line. Then we turn around and we go up the other way. He said, this is so cool. He said, and it's helped us immensely. And I said, so that's interesting. He said, yeah, but he says, we had a really bad storm last year. But he said, it worked out all right because we have something that farmers around here call soybean struggle. I said, what are you talking about? Soybean struggle? Tell me more about that. Well, he said, last year, he said, we had an awful hailstorm right in the spring when the soybeans had just put out their leaves. And he said, it knocked most of the leaves off. We thought we were going to lose the whole crop. I mean, he's got thousands of acres. And so he said, we didn't know what was going to happen, but he said, here's why we call it soybean struggle. He said, after that, the sun came out, the ground dried up. He said, and those stalks where those leaves had come off developed little nodes that strengthened the stalk of the plant. And he said that strengthened those stalks so strongly that they began to shoot out their leaves. And he said those plants were bigger than they had ever been before. And he said our bumper crop last year was almost twice what it was the year before. And I said, isn't that funny? Soybean struggle. You can learn something from anything, you know? And then I got to thinking, maybe we've been doing this wrong all these years. When we were kids, we used to sing, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. You remember that one? Yeah, maybe we should have been singing, Jesus wants me for a soybean to struggle every day, right? Why? So we can abound in those sufferings, so we can be challenged through those sufferings. Oh, that's what he's talking about. But look over at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Here we see this again in verse number 26. He says that your rejoicing may be more what?
Abundant.
Same word, superabound. To increase, abound. He says that your rejoicing may be that in Christ Jesus for me by my coming to you again. He says you ought to get pretty excited about this. God's people ought to be rejoicing. They ought to be abundant in their rejoicing. And we ought to say, God help us. We've got a job to do and we've got a message to deliver. And rejoice. And we can rejoice. We have something to rejoice about. And you know, we can rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
Always. And again, I say,
rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say,
rejoice.
Rejoice. And again, I say,
rejoice.
Yeah. Sing it with me. Rejoice. Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Yeah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hey, listen, if you haven't figured that out, then you need to go back and read Nehemiah. You say, well, Nehemiah had it easy. No. The whole thing was wrung out of a family problem, a difficulty. It was a family issue. And he was willing, through great tears and trials and a lot of hard work, to come to a point where he sat and told the people who were there in that city square that day, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, listen, I've been through that. Can understand that. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Going through those tough times. And he said, I don't know if I can make it. Oh, but I want to show you one more. Colossians chapter 2. And we'll close here this morning. Colossians chapter 2. Just the tip of the iceberg. Just getting started. Oh, wow. Abounding in Christ. Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 7, he says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with what?
Thanksgiving.
Wow, there's where God's people really can set this thing apart, because we have so much to be thankful for. And I remember in church where Dad pastored for 22 years, took a little church out in the middle of a country, 300 people in the town, only 5 families. There's no big town around the whole area, but people came from 26 towns and villages. And eventually, I remember it was 653, over 500 regularly in that church. People would come and stand outside and look in the windows to see what was going on. They parked up and down the main street, Route 250, right there in Savannah, Ohio. And they came along one Sunday and they put tickets on all the cars that were parked along the street. And my dad said, bring your tickets to me. He went down to the city office and he took the tickets and laid them on the clerk's desk. And he said, listen, this is the best thing that's ever happened in Savannah, Ohio. Families are getting right with God. Men are coming home instead of going to the bars. He said, lives are being changed. He said, you pay for them. And you know what? They did. And they realized what was going on, because God got a hold of some people when their hearts were changed. And my dad always counted it in families. And he said, when he left the church there and went into evangelism, over 155 families were regularly coming. That's the way he counted it, families. And I said, praise God for that. And you know what he would say? He's often at the end of the services, he'd say, let's have a thanks night. Just find 3 people to thank God for and tell them thanks for something. Listen, you get a gratitude attitude and you start abounding in that, and people are going to come and say, I want to be around those kind of people. I want to know what it is that makes them tick. I want to abound like that. And listen, if God's doing that work in your heart, people are going to see that. And you and I, this is time for us. Get a little bounce and say, God, here we go. We're going forward. We're going to abound in love,
honey,
and in thanksgiving and in joy. Yes,
we
Mom.
We pulled in yesterday with your 40-foot bus.
Yeah, that's
and
exciting.
And my motorhome that's sitting up on the cock up here on the hill.
Keeping the dog right there.
Yeah, and my little dog. Anyway, it was raining.
Oh, yeah?
And I saw you get out, and I saw that gentleman right there come and talk to you. But I looked, and out behind him came a young man. And do you know what that young man carried? I don't know how many loads he made in and out.
That was Quincy.
Quincy. And he carried things in for me. Boy, that just blessed my heart to see a teenager who didn't have to be told by his father, now go get that.
Yeah, you don't know what happened before we arrived.
Oh.
Yeah. Listen. I tell you, what a blessing it is. Just be who God called you to be and abound in Him. And you're going to see what happens. As we believe, I believe God's going to let us move this direction this week. Let's ask God for His help. Father, we don't want to just go through life just like so many people's normal. God, we're asking for You to allow us to be Christians who abound in Your love and in Your grace and in Your thanksgiving and rejoicing and Your hope. Oh God, thank You. And let us this week sense what happens when You get involved in our lives and refresh our hearts and renew us and revive us for Jesus' sake. We pray it. Amen. Pastor.